It's NBA Strea. How you going? It's NBA Strea for Tuesday, December 19. Yeah, I'm James Clements, a writer for Rolling Stone, Junkie, The Brooklyn Game, and one half of the Durongai's NBA basketball podcast. And I'm here, hanging out in New York City, New York, staring at, what's today, 7 weird little Russian dudes on top of this building across from me. Nice one. We're breaking down all the daily NBA storylines, who's doing what, how they're doing it, where they're doing it, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball today. That's right, man. Don't forget, it's daily. We're going to talk about what happened last night in the NBA, as well as a whole bunch of other smack about a bunch of other NBA junk. And of course, as we do every day, we're going to cover off what the Australian NBA players are all up to. And it's Tuesday, so that means we have a new addition to the Shane Hill Shoot Your Shot Random Guy Going Off Hall of Fame. We've got our Mango Matt Yang check-in, and there's all the usual dumb segments like, that's not a knife, that's a knife, look at me, the unpopular opinion of the day, the award-winning, and of course, another installment of Joe Ingles, HR manager. I love it. Plus, we'll wrap every single game from last night, which was an absolute corker, and preview all of tonight's games. Man, this is just what we do. It's NBA Australia. Let's go!
Out for the
Shaq
attack.
All right, NBA Australia, we're hanging out, we're doing stuff, it's fun. What are we doing every day at NBA Australia? The first thing we do is the daily whip around. What happened in the NBA last night? Do we have any news? Well, we do. We got a little bit of news. There was the Kobe jersey retirement ceremony last night. Both numbers in it, both numbers. We'll get into that in a little bit. But it was great. All the old-timers were there. Bill Russell, Kareem, James Worthy, Shaq, AI. Everybody paid tribute to the Mamba. Magic Johnson and Jeannie Buss said some nice words. Kobe went out there and gave a speech that might have actually been about his muse cage. I don't know. But it was all very, very, very cool. Still two banners, man. I don't know about that. The best Laker of all time? The fuck out of here. Still, it was nice to have everybody able to revel in some Kobe for one more night. Wasn't that nuts? Nobody mentioned the rape. All right, Jabari Parker has also been assigned to the Bucks G League team, the Wisconsin Herd, coming back from his ACL. I love this. It's the baseball minor league rehab assignment of NBA. This is wicked. They have to waive Gary Payton II, which is a damn shame, because I love me some baby glove. And they also signed Sean Kilpatrick, my boy, the former Brooklyn Net, to a two-way G League contract as well. So happy that Sean Kilpatrick landed somewhere. But let's get into it. Let's get into last night's games. Oh, shit. It was like basically 6 games last night decided by a bucket. That's unfucking real. One of them wasn't the Knicks at Hornets. 91-109. Oh, my God. The Knicks were fucking horrible in this. No zingers, no goods. Because you know what you need? You always need.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
You do need a supercharged Zinger Burger, damn it. The King of New York, Bees, had 23-9. Is he now better than Melo? Talk about that in a bit. Frank Kaminsky thought he was the zinger last night. He had 24, shooting 4 of 6 from 3, trying to justify all those draft picks Charlotte decided they were better off without, and having Frank the Tank instead. Yes, that's much better than having both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Mango makes an appearance. His second NBA appearance of the year because the Knicks are getting blown out so big that the big Sudanese Australian got in for the Hornets. We'll talk about that in the Australian player whip around. Next up, we have the Celtics going to Indiana. And oh my God, what a fucking game this was. Celtics win 112-111. Terry Rose with the game-winning steal and dunk, though. Are you fucking kidding? This was unbelievable. It was done. Indy had come all the way back. A 10-2 run to go up 105-102. Celtics get it down 1. And then Indiana try to inbound the ball. They try, and they fail. Corey Joseph gives it back to Bojan, who then airs it up over to Collison. And Terry Rose steals the ball with nine seconds left. There's now about 3 seconds left. Rose sprints down with the flush, probably got fouled. Game, set, match, motherfuckers. Holy shit. Unbelievable. So that was pretty cool. Wiktor had a huge 38 and he was clutch as fuck. He basically got them all the way back in this. But then, so did Kyrie. Kyrie, same ice cold blood in those veins for both of them. But I can't believe just how good of a play Terry Rozier came up with. Like, that steal after it's inbounded, that literally never fucking happens, especially to get a game-winning dunk. The fuck? Good job, Terry Rozier. Good job. And good job, Celtics, for winning that one over the Pacers. Pacers on a back-to-back, though, came all the way back. God damn. Tough night at the old office there for the Pacers. And, right, next, moving along, what can you do? Heat at Hawks. Gross. 104 to 110. The Hawks win it. What the fuck, Hawks? What are you doing? You should probably not be, like, winning games at this point. You're going to be sitting there going, all right, what are we, one game back from the old Mavs there and two games back from Chicago. Let's put a bit of a daylight between the two of us, eh? Come on. Come on, what are we doing? Ah, you dickheads. Anyway, they hold on to win this. Heat were playing. Heat tried to tank this. They were playing without Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside and Justice Winslow and James Johnson. That's four starters. It's amazing they were even this close. Taurine, the Red Bull Prince. He has 24 and 7, going 7 and 12 from the field. 4 of 7 from 3. Not bad. Baze Gaze had a good one. He had 16. German Rondo had 23, 6 and 6. And the rookie John Collins, 9 and 6. I love that kid. For the Heat, though, Josh Richardson out there just smashing. He had 28 the other day. He had 26 last night. Deion Waiters Island had 23. And BAM! Adebayo, 11 and 10 with two blocks. That kid is a flat out killer. Nice one. Sixers of Bulls. Oh my god. Speaking of not being able to fucking tank properly, Sixers lose this. 117-115. Bulls at home. Just out there killing. Six straight fucking wins. Are you, like, that's bonkers. Absolutely bonkers. Miritich comes back with 22 and 13. Fighting Bobby Portis. Follows up his career high the other night with a 12 and 10. Chris Dunn. The Forgotten Man has 22, 4, and 6 with two steals. That's unfucking real. So this came down to the wire. Ben Simmons had a chance to tie this one up with 9 seconds left. Drove and chucked up a brick. Not great. The homie Dario Saric had 27 and 8. No Embiid in this. And, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, Embiid is really good. Without Embiid, Simmons and Dario have got a little bit more room to cook. So, I don't know. It was weird. It was a weird aesthetic change for the evening. Simmons, almost his fourth triple-double for the year. We'll talk about that later. TJ, Covington, Redick, Bayless, Rashawn Holmes, they all added a little something, but not quite enough to get over the Bulls. Unfucking believable, the Bulls. Six straight. That is absolutely bananas. I believe that is now the top winning streak in the East because the Cavs have won five straight. And the Bulls now six because of course they have. God damn it. Jazz go to Houston and get their asses kicked by the Rockets, 120 to 199. Chris Paul, 15 straight wins with the Rockets. Unbelievable. Just, you know, that's unfucking real, right? Jingling Joe had his second best scoring game of the year. He goes 17, 4, and 3. Rodney Hood had 26. Donovan Mitchell had a bit of a shocker in this one, the rookie. 6 points, 3 of 7 in only 21 minutes. But the masterclass, fast Jimmy Harden, who Donovan Mitchell should be looking at and going, teach me, master. Teach me. Fast Jimmy Harden had 28, 6, and 6. Clint Capela had 24 and 20. Fucking hell, Swiss Gobert. Unbelievable. Chris Paul with the almost triple-double as well. 18 points, 9 rebounds, 10 assists. And Eric Gordon with a season-high 33. Basically brought them back to win this off the bench. They were down 10 at one point in the fourth and then scored and won by 21. What a fucking game. Are you kidding? Like, that is absolutely bananas that that happened. I don't know how they did it, but they scored 41 points in the fourth quarter to Utah's 15. That's fucked. Houston have now won. Just, I don't know how or what the fuck is going on, but Houston are out there smashing and they've won 14 straight. They're 25 and 4, putting daylight between everybody else. 14 straight. Like, when will they lose again? Houston, I mean, they're fucking, like, going completely, like, this is a T-Mac, Yao Ming, Shane Battier era, like, win levels. So they next play the Lakers on Wednesday. Then they play the Clippers. They could easily win both those games. They play the Thunder on Christmas. It's going to be tasty. Boston on the 28th, also tasty. Washington on the 29th, also tasty. And the Lakers again on the 31st. I don't know, man. That's five, six more games that I wouldn't bet against them. And then it's Orlando. Then they play the Warriors on Gen 4. Fuck, man. Tune in for that. All right. Anyway, back to the games. Blazers at Timberwolves. Unbelievable. Another game that goes down to the fucking wire. 107. The Blazers lose to the T-Wolves 108. Jimmy Butler, 8 seconds left. Drives, fouled, sinks both free throws to go up. And Jimmy Buckets, he had 37 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists. Unbelievable. Blazers, though, had a second, 2.3 seconds to get a look at this. Dame Lillard misses a good look for 3 to win it. Airballs it just a bit long. Looked good out of the hand, still. 20 for CJ McCollum, 20 for Nurk, 17 and 13 for Dame on 18 shots. Alvaro Camino, though, just, you know, sneaky, sneaky. Just another 3 of 5 from 3-9. But the Timberwolves, it was all Jimmy Butler. Rest of it was a bit of a shit show. Blazers, I mean, yeah. What a fun-ass game that was, though. Another one-point game. Nuggets at Thunder. Nuggets 94, Thunder 95. Rusty just goes, all right, fuck it, motherfuckers. I'm a wind this back. Like, all right, we won this, like, won lots of games last year doing it my way, so sit your asses down and pay attention in class. He goes off for 38 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Unreal. PG. Paul George goes 1 of 6 from 3, totals 8 points. Melo, Carmelo Anthony, only has 4 points. That's his lowest point total since 2012. Oh, Jesus. Alex Abrines has 11 and 13. Jokic has 13 and 9 for the Nugs. Tweets his ankle again, though, coming down on a jumper. Trey Lyles has 15 and 9. And the dartsman, Gary Harris, because he sounds like a dude who's out there playing darts. Hi, I'm professional darts player Gary Harris. Everyone goes, yeah, that's definitely your name. Had 17. That was a fun-ass game as well. I don't know, like, how the Thunder came back in this. The Nuggets came back. It was just fucking awesome. Arm wrestle. Suns at Mavs. How about this? Whew, another close game, but Suns win in Dallas, 97-91. Mavs just crapped out everywhere here. Like, they got a close hit of Devin Harris 3. Mr. Wes Matthews 3, basically, that would have had the lead. And that was that. TJ Warren has 19-5. Just turns into a foul fest basically for the last 24 seconds. Just tough, man. Absolutely tough. Marquise Chris sucks. I'll tell you that. Suns, 2 points, 4 rebounds in 17 and a half minutes. Jesus Christ. For the Mavs, Harrison Barnes, basically number 26. Dirk only has 5-4 in 24. Can't believe the Suns out-executed the Mavs down the stretch. They suck. They're just really fucking bad. Man, Mavs actually literally need JJ Barea to win games. Fucking hell. Clips go to Spurs and lose by 18. Spurs 109, Clips 91. Clips, no Lou Will, no Wes Johnson. Austin Rivers back though. Hey, y'all ready for our daily fun-ass game of let's play who the fuck in the Clippers starting lineup, son? Let's try it. Jamil Wilson, DJ, Austin Rivers, Milos Teodosic, and the immortal CJ Williams, who might be Doc Rivers' 2K career player. I don't know. DJ had 13 and 14. They're just a shit show. For the Spurs, LaMarcus had 19 and 8. Kawhi was back for another 15 minutes. Popped in with 7 points and 4 rebounds. Tony Parker also back with 16 and 7. Ginobili, 13. And Patty Cakes. We'll talk about him more at length later. 11 points. Nice one in 22 and a half minutes. Good job, Patty. Spurs, just cooking along, man. Just cooking along. They're just doing what Spurs do. They're just like, hey, yo, you watching where we are in the standings? Because it's third. I'm just saying. Just hanging out here. Just hanging out, Palo. What's going on? All right. And then finally, last night. Man, the Spurs are 21 to 10. That's fucking crazy. Finally, the big ticket item from last night was Warriors at Lakers, and it did not disappoint. What a game. 116. Lakers win in overtime over the Lakers. 114. This is still such a weird starting lineup for the Warriors, right? The coward Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, JaVale McGee, Jordan, fuck the Bulls, Bell, and Pat McCaw. That's no Steph, no Draymond, no Livingston, no Zaza, and still, what a great game. Larry Nance killed the coward Kevin Durant, stone dead, son. That was the best dunk of the year so far. I don't know how he stays up so long, and he's like, fucking Jordan in Space Jam, man. That shit was unbelievable. Kind of props to the coward Kevin Durant for not cowering away from the dunk, though, and thinking, I got this. Oh, nah, don't. Shit. You could just see that flash across his face. Anyway, all the focus was on Kobe. The Lakers were able to sort of chill into this. They got down by 10, but then they came back. took themselves a lead. And it was just a really, really fun-ass tussle. Like, even after that big old halftime break when everyone got a say and everyone's like, oh, Kobe, woo, Kobe. What's it called? It's Kobe. I love you, Kobe. The fourth quarter was mental. KD misses like a clincher. The notorious KCP becomes Kentavious Caldwell. Nope. Misses a three at the buzzer to win it because you know he was yelling, Kobe, as he shot it. Overtime, Kuz and Lonzo kept the Lakers in it. Have it all tied up. And then the coward, Kevin Durant, hits a go-ahead shake and bake two with 8 seconds left. The Lakers with no timeouts. Lonzo sprints off in transition, has his layup blocked by old man David West. And that is game. What a game. The coward, Kevin Durant, 36 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists on a very Kobe 10 of 29 shooting. Klay couldn't get it going in this. He had 17 points on 24 shots. Gross. The coward 0.5, Brandon Ingram, non-upgraded version, had 19-6-5. Not bad. And Brook Lopez went out with a brutal-looking ankle roll. Hope the big fella's okay. And then finally, Kuz came off the bench and smashed with 25-6-3. What a fucking night in the NBA. That was fucking fun. Let's find out who is the NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's a night. That's a night.
Yes, it is, Kevin Durant. Yes, it is. Because you put a knife in the heart of every Lakers and Kobe fan with a game winner like that. Oh, shit. 36 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists. And you just went out there and tore these motherfuckers' hearts out. Also had 3 blocks and a steal. Holy crap. Kevin Durant, you are the performance of the night. Thing is, how about David West getting a knife for blocking Lonzo's layup attempt? That was like, look, he was that fucking close. Like, this is pinpoint inches on inches on inches kind of shit. It's right there. David West gets a hand off it, on it, goes off the backboard. Boom. Game. But the coward, I love it. So this was just straight killer instinct. He's like, ah, everybody clear out. Fuck y'all. I'm going to just drop in a long two. And he did. It was so Kobe. I loved it. It was perfect on Kobe night. And even better that it beat the Lakers. Still, the coward Kevin Durant, man. You win. Tonight's NBA, well, today's mornings. NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's a knife. That's a knife.
I also love that KD probably felt exactly like Russell Westbrook did last year. Like looking at this starting lineup and going, who the fuck are these guys? What the fuck? Anyway, old mate, no mates. Who's got no mates today? The combo of Bojan Bogdanovic and Darren Collison for giving away a win for the Pacers against the Celtics. Damn, sons. Can't give it that much air when you're passing the ball across court. And good job, Terry Rose. You actually originally had the that's not a knife, that's a knife for last night for that fucking knife dunk. Holy shit. But KD, overtime in front of like a rabid Lakers crowd. I think Kobe had left by this point. Anyway, but it was just such a badass motherfucking performance that KD got it. So Bojan and Darren, you've got old mates. You are old mates, no mates today in Indy. And of course, we'll add an extra one here. Anyone shit talking Kobe last night, including me, look, got to give the guy a night, right? I mean, just he was an absolute legend in 8 and in 24. Straight killer. Couldn't talk about the NBA without him for 20 years. Prompted a kajillion arguments. Also prompted a lot of dipshitted internet rings, culture bullshit. And no one mentioned the rape. And, but you know, props to Kobe. Hell of a fucking career. What a dude. We'll talk about more Kobe a little bit later. Let's get to the Lonzos.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Oh, better than Lonzo Ball is your daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night. Well, Lonzo was actually very impressive last night. No problem. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Goes 3 of 6 from 3. Banked one in as well. Gets his game-winning layup blocked at the buzzer, though. But they wouldn't have gotten there without him. Unfortunately, though, another rookie. Ben Simmons had his 4th triple-double of the year taken away. God damn it. Ends up with 19 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists. They took an assist away after the game. 4 blocks. Like, during the actual broadcast, they're like, and Ben Simmons has got his 4th triple-double of the year. It was pretty great. And you know, if it was Lonzo Ball, he definitely would have had the triple-double. I call anti-Australian bias. This is my soapbox, motherfuckers. Lonzo Ball wouldn't have had that assist taken away. Why does Ben Simmons get it taken away? Fuck all y'all. Anyway, Ben Simmons, last night you were hashtag better than Lonzo Ball. How about an honorary better than Lonzo Ball as well? Kuz had 25, 6, and 3 off the bench. That's fucking unreal. Great job, Kuz. Great job. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. All right. That's some good stuff. Let's move on to Yenaz just after this one. All right, it's yeah nah. We've got three yeah nahs where we have three NBA storylines and get a yeah nah and figure out if it's more yeah or more nah. So the story by ESPN's Kevin Arnovitz about how Ben Simmons playing AFL gives him a physicality others lack is fucking great. So you should go read it. It's amazing. So if Ben Simmons had stuck with AFL instead of basketball, would he be better than AFL superstar Buddy Franklin? Fuck, this is a tough one. So he grows up playing footy, which he did. You gotta have otherworldly athleticism, which he does. With his quickness and physicality, could he be like a 6'10" on baller? A dominating lead up forward with those quick... Oh my God, he's quick. I don't know, but it's great to think about. I think the physical gifts are there. And it obviously depends on how good he would have been skills-wise if he had specifically concentrated on AFL, because I feel like his footy brain would have been fine. Like, he's a fucking point guard in the NBA. The dude is, like, clearly, like, seeing shit that we aren't seeing. That's unreal. I reckon he would have smashed AFL if he had have stuck with it. But, you know what's also really fucking fun? Having Ben Simmons in the NBA. That's way more fun. We've already got enough AFL footballers. Let's get some more Australians in the goddamn NBA so I've got something to talk about. Anya, I still reckon Ben Simmons may end up being better than Buddy Franklin if he could kick a footy proper, which he might have been able to. This would have been fascinating. It's a great thought experiment. Next one, the King of New York Bees has 23-9 last night. Is he now actually better than Melo right now? Yeah, nah. Yeah? Is Michael Beasley? Would you rather have Michael Beasley right now than Melo? Tomorrow night, I fucking might. I might prefer to have the Agent of Chaos instead of old slow-ass, grumpy-ass Melo scoring 4 points. The fuck, man? I mean, Melo's going to be fine this year, I assume, but fucking hell, Bees is out there crushing it. And then finally, it's going to be the Kobe one. Kobe getting two jerseys retired to the rafters of Staples Centers is a slap in the face to every other Los Angeles Laker all-timer. Yeah, nah! Yeah, kinda. Oh, it just looks so gross, right? Like lifting up two banners while there's like one for Jerry West, one for Magic, one for Kareem, one for Wilt. I mean, yeah, he won titles in both, won an MVP in one and not the other, but I mean, the Bulls didn't retire MJ's 45. We couldn't just put both numbers on one fucking banner. That shit isn't too hard. I feel like it denigrates all those who came before. And it's just a bit shit. I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, I need to know, like, other people's thoughts on this. Because, I mean, it just doesn't sit right with me. I want to know what other people think of Kobe getting two banners up there instead of the usual one. Weird. All right. That's an unpopular opinion, maybe. And here's another one. Because...
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
The look at me, unpopular opinion of the day. Don't mention the rape, but if Kobe's 2003 rape case had happened now, the dude would be an absolute pariah and probably forced to retire or take a leave of absence while the case went on. So timing was on his side. And contextually, this is one of the main reasons I tend to think he's a piece of shit. Don't at me. What are you going to do? I did call it the unpopular opinion of the day. Kobe is beloved. He did play a lot of really good basketball, but also pretty much had non-consensual in her mind because that's what she said, and therefore it is sex with a lady in 2003. Tough, man. Kobe. Complicated. All right, it's Tuesday, so that's some we got some fun stuff. Let's Bring it back. Bring it back. It's the Shane Heal Memorial Shoot Your Shot. Amazing random guy going off stat line Hall of Fame. We have a new entrant. That's right. That's right. For y'all who forgot, it's the GOAT. We're talking about fucking Kobe Bryant here. He scored 81 points in a game. He scored 60 points in his last ever game. He was cooking. He had 60 in three quarters one other time. But he never had 51 points and six steals in a game. I'll tell you that much. But on April 11, 2014, motherfucking the GOAT, Corey Brewer did. Oh, shit. Corey fucking Brewer, man. 19-30. He only took six threes and hit only two of them. 11-15 from the free throw line. 51 points and six steals. That's only happened seven times in NBA history. Three of them were from the actual GOAT, MJ. Jordan had one in three of those games. One in 87, one in 88, and one in 96. The other three people were Rick Barry in 1975, Allen Iverson in 2004 against Utah, and Dame Lillard last year against the Warriors. So the lesson, as always, don't fuck with Corey Brewer, son. 51 points, six steals. Welcome to the Shane Heal Shoot Your Shot. Amazing random guy going off stat line Hall of Fame because... Praise the Lord, I'm healed. All right, coming up next, we have the Australian Player Watch right after this one. All right, let's get to it. Australian Player Watch, who played last night? What did they do? Ben Simmons played the Bulls, as mentioned, had a chance to tie this one up with 9 seconds left, chucked up a brick. Didn't look good, Ben. You'll live, you'll learn. It's an Alanis Morissette song. You'll be fine. Almost his fourth triple-double of the year. 19 points, 11 rebounds, had assist taken away, so it's only nine. Four blocks as well. He had a good game. I can't believe they lost that game. Patty Mills played the Clips. 11 points, one rebound, no assists, one steal. 4 of 6 from the field, and 3 of 4 from three in 22 minutes. On you, Patty Cakes. Not bad. You may have seen him pop up on our NBA Australia Never Forget yesterday as well about his... basically, kind of his rookie year high, career high scoring against a nascent Warriors team. Remember to follow the Facebook and get those NBA Australia fucking never forgets there. Joe Ingles, Jingling Joe, had his second best scoring game of the year, 17 points. He also added 4 assists, 3 rebounds. He only shot 1 of 5 from three, which is a tough one. So his field goal percentage, his 3-point percentage, eking ever closer. Still shooting better from three though. Nothing from Deli and Thon because the Bucks didn't play last night. Aaron Baines played last night against Indy. Not much, 21 minutes. He had 2 points, 3 rebounds and 1 block. Celtics now 17-4 with Baines in the starting lineup. Andrew Bogut, DMP against his old team, the Warriors, last night. But we have an addition to the Australian Player Watch. Mango Matthew-Yang, second actual NBA game ever. He got 2 minutes against the Knicks because the Knicks were horrible. And Charlotte were able to throw the big fella in. He had 1 rebound in the 2 minutes, but hey, you know, he went in. Good on you, Mango. That's some good shit. And how about our daily question? Yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? Oh, yeah. And the final part of the stream, Player Watch. Yo, is Kyrie still fucking cooking? Yes. Yes, he is. And it's also Tuesday. So with the Mango, we usually have the Mango Matthew-Yang check-in. Well, he's now been added to the Australian check-in. Thing is, he's been sort of bouncing back between the Greensboro Swarm and the actual Hornets. He had 10-7 his last start with the Swarm last Friday and was then called up. So he's been with the Hornets after he got recalled December 8th and listed up a bunch of DMP CDs and did not play coach's decisions until last night, which is bonkers because the damn Hornets have lost most of those games. They play him in one and they beat the fucking Knicks. Give me some more Mango. Let's do it. All right. That's the Australian Player Watch for today. It was some good stuff. And now we're going to move into the Patty Mills inspiration board and the game previews for tonight. It's coming up right now. Ah, yeah. How good's a bit of green, green, green in the background? That's pretty nice, pretty nice. All right, it's Patty Mills inspiration board time. Patty Mills tweets out, Monday and it's back to school in Bend, Oregon, and this little guy is turning in his project on an international holiday. Awesome job, Davis. See, it was Marbo Day. So, your boy, Davis, has made a very, very cool board about Mabo Day, talking about international holidays for his elementary school. Good job. It looks amazing. Anya Davis. And good job to Patty Mills for tweeting it out. He also retweeted 1 year ago, we retired number 21. Trying to take a bit of that shine away from Kobe. Good job, Spurs. All right, let's get to it. Game previews. Let's do it. Let's go. Kings at Sixers. It's a bit of a tough one for the old Sixers there, back to back. But the Kings are fucking horrible. So let's see if Embiid gets out on the court for this one, see how his back's doing. And you know that if he gets out, that Zach Randolph's going to fucking throw a couple of elbows at those kidneys there. See how that back's loosening up. I think the Sixers bounce back and beat the Kings in this. Thing is, they are now under 500, and they're out of the eight. It's a bit of a swoon, but it was probably going to happen, right? 14 and 15, they're in 10th behind the Heat and Knicks. But, you know, I believe! Give me some Ben Simmons. He's going to go on smash. Sixers beat the Kings. Pelicans at Wiz. John Wall and Boogie! Reunited and it feels so good. Oh man, how much of a recruiting trip is this for Boogie? He's like, hey, John, can you convince these motherfuckers to trade Gortat for me? Come on, let's do this thing. Anthony Davis is like standing over in the corner, hey guys, remember me? I've got the funny eyebrow. Guys, I got a funny eyebrow. Look, guys, I'm really good. Guys, stupid Anthony Davis killing me. Wizards. Lose this one. I think the Pelicans will beat them. I feel like Boogie has like a random 40-point game here. And then finally, what a game. This is great. Cleveland Cavaliers venture up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to play the Bucks. This is LeBron versus Giannis. GOAT versus GOAT. Unreal. Bledsoe also gets to check in with his boss, LeBron. That's nice. But what a fun-ass game. It's always great when LeBron plays Greek Freak. So that is going to be an absolute cracker. Give me the Cavs in that one to continue their winning streak, I think. It's a tricky one, though. It's a bit of a tricky one. But I love it. Stoked. Only three games tonight, but three pretty good ones. Pelicans at Wiz is sneaky good. And Cavs at Bucks, never, ever going to disappoint. And you know what? We hit the post on the song. Thanks, Green, Green, Green. You timed that perfectly. Let's do it. That has been NBA Australia for today. It's been a Kobe-heavy episode. Don't mention the rape. We'll be back tomorrow for more NBA ridiculousness. In the meantime, make sure you're following us on Twitter and Facebook. You'll catch the NBA Australia hashtag never forgets and a bunch of other dumb stuff that's posted throughout the day and evening and during the games. A lot of commentary, a lot of fun stuff. Make sure you're subscribed on iTunes and Google Play. Chuck us a rating and a review while you're at it. Go on. Come on. Stop taking the piss, mate. What are you doing? Thanks to From Oslo from the intro and outro song. Make sure you go and vote for All Together by House Hats in the Hottest 100. They are the best band in Australia, and that is the best song of the year. Don't fuck around. Don't kid yourself. Come on. Just do it. House Hats, All Together, Hottest 100. Vote! Also, thanks to the legends at Green Green Green, the Ramshackle Army, and Fascinated for the tunes that you heard throughout the episode as well. Go check them out on Bandcamp and Facey. Give them a smash. They're fucking great. And that's it. What a fun ass night it was in the NBA last night. I was just fucking, I had like 8 screens going and it was just fucking awesome. The dog sitting there all smelly looking at me going, can we play? I'm like, fuck off, dickhead. All right, stick around for Joe Ingles, HR manager. You know you love it. And we will catch us all tomorrow. Lederhosen! G'day. It's Joe Ingles here for my weekly duck into the NBA Australia office in between drinking coffees and sinking threes to answer your HR questions as NBA Australia's resident HR manager. Because you probably didn't know this, but I went to uni not just to play basketball, I also majored in human resources as well. So I'm the most qualified here to help out with any questions you might have about pretty much any topic. Because, after all, the first thing you learn in human resources is that humans are resources. Okay, let's get to today's question. All right, this one comes from Kyle in Los Angeles. Hello, Joe. My name is Kyle, and I am struggling with a problem at work and would very much like to get your opinion on how to help out. Well, Kyle, I'm here to help. I'll try to do what I can. Workplace HR is, after all, the backbone of any successful enterprise and crucial for any employee-employer relationship. He goes on. I work in Los Angeles, which, as you can imagine, is a very glamorous and sought-after job, but it also makes for a very high-pressure environment. I can imagine that there, Kyle. Remember, I was going to play for the Clippers before management decided, in their wisdom, to move forward without me, and I ended up in Utah. LA can be very daunting. Anyway, go on, mate. But I really like my job. Even though it is my first year out of college, it turns out I'm really good at it. Thing is, even though lots of people are appreciating the job I'm doing, there's a much flashier, much more famous guy who's also just started here, and he's taking all the attention from the much better job I'm doing. That is a problem, Kyle. Fulfillment from your employment is one of the best feelings in the world, and if it's not there, it's a bit of a tough one. Go on, mate. Like, it can't even be understated how much this guy is the golden boy, and everyone, even our boss, tickles his nuts constantly. Well, that actually sounds like the grounds for a HR complaint there, Kyle, unless you're speaking figuratively. Anyway, back to you. And I can't help but feel that because this other guy has a dad who yells about how great he is all the time, that I'm being left out. Seriously, I'm doing about 3 times better in the work that we do, and I get about 1/10 of the recognition. As you can imagine, it's pretty frustrating. So, Joe, what do I do? Should I beat him with a sock full of soap? All right, you probably shouldn't beat him with a sock full of soap there, Kyle. Anyway. I am really out of ideas. I am such a better employee than this guy. I really need someone to acknowledge that I'm doing really well. Thanks for your time. Kyle, Los Angeles. Thanks for taking the time to write, Kyle. Look, and first of all, just make sure you don't hit him with that sock full of bars of soap. That'd be a mistake and one that could easily end up with you getting a written warning. But it certainly sounds like you're in a very tricky situation, one where HR becomes very important. Because if you don't have clear lines of communication between yourself, fellow employees, and management, things like this can get very sticky very quickly. And I think that's where you have to start, with management. If this other employee is the apple of your boss's eye, perhaps you simply need to remind your boss constantly of the job that you're doing and become more visible. You just need to indicate your value to the company and how you're quite clearly outstripping your KPIs. Either way, communication is key to HR problems. Talk to management about your role with the organization and looking at your own needs moving forward into the future. Perhaps sending your boss a great holiday card or even just consistent emails letting them know that you're enjoying your work, perhaps highlighting your results and asking if there's anything else you can do. But making sure you know you don't mention how you're doing in comparison to your workmate. That isn't good. Let them figure that out for themselves. And as they say in HR, the squeaky office chair wheel gets the requisition forms for a new office chair. Anyway, bottom line is you've got to put yourself in the best position to succeed in your line of work. That means thinking positively and making the most of your human resources. Okay, that's all we've got time for this week. I've been Joe Ingles, and this has been the H&R NBA Australia Q&A session. I'll catch you next week on NBA Australia.